somehow managed to frown and pout at the same time.
Well, that sucks.
You two would be good together.
That might be true, Poe said.
But he and Dylan are perfect.
Chapter 22, August 29th, 2017, 12 p.m.
News quickly spread that any and all outcasts were welcome at Winnie. Soon, 12 new friends joined them regularly for lunch. More laughter filled the parking lot, and every person who sat in a pop-up chair appeared to feel a little bit less alone. Poe certainly was in that number, and her daddy told her that he loved buying more chairs to accommodate her growing circle of friends. And luckily for Cole, several of the newcomers were guys, so he was no longer the only one with a Y chromosome. He seemed relieved, and a little less awkward during conversations. As Poe sat eating her peanut butter and apple jelly sandwich, Cole walked to her and presented her with a large cardboard box.
"What is it?" Poe asked.
"Open it up and look," he said. Poe cut through the tape with one of her car keys, opened the box flaps, and peeked inside.
"What are these old 8-track tapes?"
"They sell them at thrift stores. So anytime I'm delivering flowers in surrounding towns, I run in and see what they have. There are some good ones in there."
"Oh, my gosh."
Poe picked up a stack and sifted through them.
"Gordon Lightfoot, Waylon Jennings, Bread, Captain and Tennille, Billy Joel, the Carpenters, Cole. This is amazing. I can't believe you got these."
She handed the stack to her left, and the rest of the group took turns looking at them.
"I figure you might as well put Winnie's stereo system to good use. Maybe add the nostalgia."
Poe caught Cassie and Misty glancing and grinning at each other, something they seemed to do a lot more often. She thought back to Misty's comment late last week about Cole, and again dismissed her friend's romantic assumptions. Some things just couldn't be, and it was best to keep it that way. They were spending so much time together because it's what Dylan would want, and because they had a common mission: to find out everything they could about her disappearance. She looked over at two of her friends and watched them inspect the tapes for several seconds before Joshua walked into her line of vision. His eyes cut to her, and he glared at her, his jaw set, as he walked away from his car and toward the picnic table. His hand tightly gripped the fast food bag. Poe straightened her back and set her shoulders, refusing to wilt under his hostile scowl.
"This is the coolest gift ever."
Poe bumped her shoulder against Cole's arm and looked over at him with a smile, as if Joshua never existed.
"I've never had a friend do something like this for me."
She took a deep breath and allowed herself to be in the moment.
"Honestly, Cole, I can't thank you enough."
He dipped his head and scratched his ear.
"You just did. We're all good."
Just then, another guy slowly wandered up to the group and offered a small, insecure wave, one that said he thought he was welcome, but wasn't completely sure. Cole walked over to greet the lanky, strawberry blonde-headed boy and shook his hand.
"Hey, Finn. Glad you could make it."
He turned to face the rest of the group.
"You guys know Finn?"
Poe eyeballed Finn as he greeted the rest of the lunch crew and then turned to her.
"Hey, Poe," he said with a grin.
"Hey, Finn. Good to see you.
Are you going to join us for lunch?"
"I was hoping to.
I heard this was the place to be."
"You heard right," Misty said, offering him a chair.
"So what brings you to the land of the lost?"
"I'm the preacher's kid who actually doesn't mind being one. How well do you think I fit in?"
"Not at all," Cassie asked.
"Bingo."
Misty sat in her chair and crossed one leg over the other.
"Well, welcome to the trash heap. Make yourself at home."
"I plan on it."
Finn took the chair Misty offered him, and Poe observed him carefully as he sat it next to her.
"Sorry about your baby.
How are you holding up?"
Misty, Cassie, and Poe exchanged quick, wide-eyed looks. He'd brought up the elephant in the parking lot that everybody pretended they didn't see. Or the second elephant. The first was the subject of Poe's sister.
I'm good, Misty recrossed her legs.
Your dad conducted my son's funeral.
He told me. Sorry I couldn't be there. My mom and I had to go out of town.
It was a boy, right?
Yeah.
What was his name?
He asked.
Benjamin?
Benjamin.
That's a great name.
Poe watched them talk for a few minutes, and then stole a glance at Cole. He looked back at her, shrugged, and then dipped his head and dove into his lunch sack with a small grin.
Cole?
He swallowed his grin and looked up.
Yeah? How about we try out one of those 8-track tapes?
Now? She jumped to her feet and grabbed his arm.
Yep. Right now.
She dragged him inside and closed the door behind her.
What was that about?
She barked. What was what about?
Don't you what was what me. You know exactly what was what. Are you trying to set them up?
Who?
Misty and Finn?
No, I just thought he might want to join us. That's all.
And?
And I vaguely remembered he mentioned her a while back.
Mentioned her how? This was a long time ago.
While she was with Joshua, even, I think.
Mentioned her how?
She said again, now drawing out each word.
Like, how he thought she was wasting her time with Joshua.
She stepped toward him.
And?
And
maybe he thought she was cute or something. I don't remember specifics. You think she's cute?
She gasped. He thought she was cute. Whether or not he still does, who's to say?
Well, he showed up here for lunch, didn't he?
He did.
At your invitation?
Yes.
And?
I might have mentioned the fact she ate with us.
Holy crow!
Now, don't get all excited. It could just be that he wanted to have some people to eat with.
At first, I was skeptical, but if you think he's genuinely interested, and out of 15 people, he sat right next to her.
Cole shrugged.
His daddy's a preacher. Surely don't think he'd let Finn date a girl who had a baby when she was 17,
she asked. Don't know for sure. But he lets him hang out with a guy whose dad owns a girly bar. Maybe he actually does what the Bible says and doesn't judge.
She clutched her hands to her chest. I sure hope he likes her. Unless he's going to hurt her, then I don't want him to, because she doesn't need to be hurt anymore. Do you think he's coming to the dance?
Oh, I hope so. Good Lord, Poe. He sat next to her at lunch. You're acting like he's about to pop the question or something. Settle down already.
But if he's good, Cole? If he's a good guy?
He is a good guy.
And she needs a good guy.
She deserves a good guy. I know that. Why do you think I invited him?
You did!
She hopped around Winnie in excitement.
You did invite him for her!
He opened the door, jumped off Winnie's steps, and walked toward the school building behind their friends who'd already started back.
Coleman Rhodes. Poe stopped hopping, ran out, then slammed the door, and locked it before chasing him down.
I only thought the 8-tracks couldn't be beat.
I was wrong.
Inviting Finn to lunch was the best gift ever.
He stopped and looked over at her with a smirk. What if I didn't do it for you?
It still is. It's the best gift ever.
She stood back and watched Cole and their group of friends head toward the school entrance, and for a brief moment, felt complete joy.
Devoid of any negativity, she could see light at the end of the tunnel and wanted to sprint toward it before it dimmed.
9:10 p.m. Poe sat on the floor next to Cole and stared down at her cell phone as she drummed her fingers on the linoleum.
A watched pot never boils.
Cole sighed as he worked on the leaky faucet. His face stayed hidden in the shadow of the cabinet. Poe wasn't sure if he knew what he was doing, but was more impressed by his effort and determination. And she'd be more impressed if she weren't so preoccupied.
Could this take any longer?
Phillips screwdriver. She dug through his toolbox, pulled out a screwdriver, and handed it to him. That's a flathead. I need a Phillips. It has 4 grooves. Crosshead.
He sat up and reached for the tool as she grabbed it, causing their hands to briefly touch, and a zap of low-voltage electricity to race up her arm. He ducked under the sink and went back to work. Poe stared at her fingers. Cassie said she'd call by 9 with information about the coffee order. It's 10 after. Don't drive yourself crazy. I wouldn't have far to drive. Give yourself a break, and give Cassie a break while you're at it. She'll get you the information as soon as she can. He handed her the screwdriver. Wrench, please. She grabbed the wrench and handed it over, careful to keep from touching him again. So, anyway, I've been meaning to talk to you.
About what?
I just want to say thank you for being my friend. For sticking up for me, looking out for me. That kind of thing.
No worries.
I mean, I hadn't been the nicest to you since Dylan's been gone. Or maybe ever. I don't have an excuse for that. And honestly, you and I both know I don't deserve you being so nice.
Sure you do.
She slid the angel pendant back and forth across the chain around her neck. People are so wrong about you. It's crazy.
They're wrong about you, too. At least, now, anyway.
Thanks. But they're really, really wrong about you. And your daddy. You're so much more mature than all the other guys. They act like they're 12, and you manage to act like an adult. You're so level-headed and kind.
His head emerged from under the sink. What's all this about?
It's not about anything, her heart raced. I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate you, and that I realize how lucky I am to call you a friend.
He stuck his head back under the sink. I'm glad to call you my friend, too.
Good.
She rolled her eyes at herself, thankful he couldn't see her, and then bit the inside of her lip and tried to think of something else to say.
I thought maybe...
Maybe what? Instead of answering, she stood, walked to the bathroom, and momentarily lost herself in the photos of Dylan and Cole that hung on the wall.
Poe?
She turned to him. Cole had pulled himself out from under the sink and stood looking at her, with eyebrows arched high.
Maybe what? He asked. I don't know.
He set the wrench down inside the sink cabinet and walked to her.
I know you wanted to say something.
She looked down at her hands, noticed she was fidgeting with her fingers, and pressed her palms to her sides as he took 2 more steps toward her. They were now less than an arm's length apart.
What?
He asked.
Just say it.
Say what?
The truth.
Whatever you're thinking, he encouraged.
Her lips cinched together, and she stared down at the yellow linoleum.
All right, then. He turned back around and was just about to climb back under the sink when she unhinged her lips and spoke.
My truth is that
Poe's phone rang, catching them off guard and startling them both. She cupped her hands close to her chest and stepped farther away from the dinette table, suddenly afraid to hear the news.
You do it.
Are you sure? She nodded.
Please.
Cole took a deep breath and answered her phone. Hey, Cassie. He stared into Poe's eyes as he listened to Cassie speak, his jaw already tight, practically becoming like rigor mortis.
Thanks, he managed. We'll see you tomorrow.
She watched his hand place the phone on the table. He seemed to be at a loss for words. Either that, or afraid to speak them out loud.
What?
Poe asked. Her voice shook and her knees wobbled.
It was Joshua, wasn't it? I was right.
Cole took another long, collecting breath and turned to look at her.
It was you.
You ordered the coffee.
No, I didn't, Poe.
It was your name. Your credit card number.
Cole, I couldn't have,
Let's just call it a night. Okay? Panic overcame her. Her mind raced. She searched for an explanation, but nothing materialized.
I went straight from the house to the school, I didn't stop, and I didn't call in an order.
She picked up her phone and scanned through the list of recent calls.
Mama, Daddy, Mama, Cole, it's not here, I didn't call,
Poe. I need you to believe me.
She looked up at him. Her heart beat wildly.
Please.
His face softened, and his eyes filled with compassion.
I do, all right?
I believe you. I just think we need to dial all this back some. Like you said, let's let the cops do their job and wait and see.
But,
Poe, give it a rest. He walked to the door and opened it. I'll see you tomorrow. Lock the door behind me. Poe watched Cole walk out. Her heart snapped in two when he closed the door behind him.
I didn't do it.
Tears streamed down her face. Her body shook.
I don't remember doing it.
11:30 p.m. Poe sat in Winnie's driver's seat. It was as far back as it would go, and her feet were perched on the steering wheel, her knees at her chest. It was a near-fetal position. Only she was lucid. Thinking. Worrying. Thanks to the light from the back patio, and the strategically placed streetlights that lined the alley, she could watch the moss hanging from the trees above the cemetery as it blew in the gentle push of the wind. Small wisps floated in the air, and caught a moment in the spotlight when the moon illuminated it, as it fell to the brown earth. The gentle scene did nothing to calm her mind. It hadn't ended well with Cole. She was almost certain she'd completely freaked him out with her odd behavior and the revelation that she somehow ordered the coffee. After more than an hour of regret, Poe's forehead was red from all the pounding it took. Every time she thought about the look on his face when Cassie gave him the news, her palm made contact with the delicate skin of her face.
How could I be so freaking stupid? She slapped herself. I'm going crazy.
Slap. She slipped out of the driver's seat, walked to the bathroom, and stood in front of the photographs that hung in the shower stall. Her and her sister's faces looked back, possibly trying to tell her something. But she couldn't pinpoint what. The images were intermingled with each other. No rhyme or reason to their placement. With each photo, she carefully examined the people in the background. Was there anyone unusual? Anything out of place? Was Joshua present? She pulled her cell phone from her pocket and opened her list of names of people she'd seen at the bus station. She read each name individually, and then looked for their face in the photographs. It was a waste of several minutes. The names and photographs never matched up. Car lights swept across the cemetery, turning her attention from the memories in front of her to the front windshield. Then the lights dimmed. She walked to the dashboard, leaned against it, and peered into the darkness, where she could see the orange parking light still illuminated and casting an eerie, faint glow onto the ground. She watched someone walk around the front of the vehicle. Their shadow moved toward the middle of the cemetery.
Who are you? What are you doing in my graveyard?
She quickly walked to the couch, slid her feet into her flip-flops, grabbed a hammer from Cole's tool chest, then quietly opened Winnie's door and stepped outside onto the moist grass. Crouching down, she slowly walked toward the dim light. The closer she inched, the closer to the ground she got. Just a few yards away from the vehicle, which was parked in the narrow driving path between sections of the cemetery, she hunkered down behind a headstone. The car door opened, then shut. She stood, the hammer in a fist at her side, ready to fight. But the car suddenly backed up, the wheels spinning in the mud and tossing it into the air. The car turned slightly, the headlights shining directly into her eyes. But she stood, unmoved. Her heart pounded. The brights flipped on, momentarily blinding her. She blinked to try to clear her vision and focus on the shadowy figure that sat behind the steering wheel. Poe squinted, trying hard to make out their face. But before she could recognize their features, the car finished backing up and quickly drove off.
Who comes to a graveyard in the middle of the night?
She turned to head back to Winnie, and realized that with the interior RV lights on, anyone from her current vantage point could see what she was doing inside. Poe swallowed hard. realizing she was being watched, and could have been for days. Her worst fear was true. Her enemy was in town, and possibly keeping a watchful eye on his next victim. Her only question now was if that person was Joshua. Chapter 23, September 1st, 2017, 7:20 p.m. Poe stood in front of a full-length mirror attached to the bathroom door and inspected her black gunny sack's tuxedo cocktail dress. A simple white bow sat just below her chest and wrapped around to the back in a simple white line. Another strip of white ribbon hit mid-thigh. She found it on the internet and selected it because it looked the most her of all the 80s dresses she had to choose from, and it could be shipped overnight. If she was going to go to homecoming dance, she figured she'd do it right and look the part. Her overly back-combed hair sat in a loose bun on her head and looked so good that she wished teasing was back in style. "The bigger the hair, the closer to God," she muttered, and then glanced at her bare feet and wiggled her toes. Rather than wearing fancy shoes, she'd painted her toenails black. It seemed more fitting, and was much more comfortable than slipping on old patent leather pumps and trying to walk on the sand. Plus, she was Southern, which meant shoes are never mandatory. Staring at the reflection in the mirror made her feel more distant, even from herself. She didn't feel like herself anymore, and she didn't look like herself either, and it was more than the vintage garb. Poe layered on hot pink lipstick, shut the bathroom door, and exited Winnie. The Cove parking lot was full, so she'd been forced to park up the road and walk about 100 yards on the dark road that lined the perimeter of the woods. With every step, she wished she'd reconsidered going barefoot. The pebbles and seashells laying in the road dug into her feet like needles. The pain combined with the uneasiness of being alone in the dark enticed her to walk a little faster. "Oh, I walked the valley of something death," she whispered. "I will fear no evil. Something, something, yada, yada." It was a scripture she'd heard before, or at least parts of it. Her mama muttered it incessantly whenever she hung new crosses. She'd collected about every decorative version she could find, and hung them from the crown molding to baseboards on every wall that backed up the cemetery. There were hundreds. Just like her mama thought the crosses in scripture would keep evil away, Poe hoped for the same as she made the walk to the cove, even if she didn't remember all the words. "Though I walk through the valley," a rustle in the woods stopped her cold. She looked into the shadowy foliage and squinted, trying to pierce the darkness. "Yada, yada," another crinkle of tree limbs. "I will fear no evil." She stood silent, listening, waiting, wondering if someone looked back at her. "I will fear no evil," she shouted, and then ran toward the homecoming dance. She slowed and worked to regain her breath as she reached the beach. The trees surrounding the waterfront were lined in bright, twinkling Christmas lights, making it appear that the deep woods were alive with lightning bugs. A bonfire raged in the middle of the beach, and 80s music blared through the speaker system and poured out over the 50 or so dancegoers who mingled on the beach. They'd reportedly raided every thrift store within a 50-mile radius and clothed themselves in the best 80s attire they could find, almost all of which included jewel-toned dresses with plenty of poofs and bows. At least for the girls, anyway. The guys either wore tacky old suits or tuxedos, or nice dress pants with a button-up shirt, just like they did for every other school dance. Those lucky enough to have vehicles with four-wheel drive parked their cars on the perimeter of the beach, and their headlights shined across the white sand, which caused it to sparkle like diamonds, and light a makeshift dance floor. The entire event had been thrown together in a matter of days, but nobody seemed to mind. The crowd was more interested in a good time than the appearance of it all, which was completely the opposite of those who attended the official Cornwall High homecoming dance. Poe approached Cassie, Misty, Cole, and Finn who stood on the beach in front of the refreshment table, downing bottles of water.
"Okay, boys, so, give us a guy's perspective on this whole Joshua thing," Misty said.
"What whole Joshua thing?" Finn asked.
"Not owning up to getting me pregnant and not even bothering to say anything to me when the baby died."
"He's a jerk. What more is there to say?"
Cole asked. "Do you think all guys would think that he's a jerk? Or just you two?"
"A lot of guys would." Poe caught Cole's eye, stopping him cold.
"But not all?" Misty urged.
Poe and Cole's eyes met for a few brief moments before he dropped his eyes and then turned his attention to the beach.
"Not all," Finn said.
"That's why we're all single. Cornwall's full of Joshuas. You're two of the few who aren't. But of course, Cole's still pining away after Dylan."
Poe watched Cole reach for a pretzel off a small snack table and inspect it. She sensed his discomfort with the conversation.
"We're not the only non-Joshua sorts. You just have to look for them."
"What do you think I've been doing? I was looking, stalking, practically. Or maybe not stalking, but lurking, at least."
"If you've got to stalk a guy, he's not the one," Finn said.
"What about you, Cassie?" Misty asked.
Cassie looked up from her plate of finger foods.
"Who has time for a guy? I can't keep up with the three I've got at home, let alone one that I have to give extra attention to."
"And Poe?" Misty asked.
"My daddy's a mortician."
Misty winced.
"Enough said. You'll be single for a while."
Misty grabbed a fistful of pretzels and turned to Cole. "So, how long are you planning on holding out for Dylan?"
"Why are you focusing on me?"
"Because my life is depressing," Misty admitted. "Wallowing in other people's crap keeps me from wallowing in my own."
"Losing a baby's a big deal," Cassie said softly. "Maybe you need to wallow a little."
"Trust me, I'm wallowing.
I just don't want to do it at homecoming." She turned back to Cole. "So, you gonna answer the question? How long will you hold out for Dylan?"
He pushed the pretzels around in his hand.
"Please, change the subject."
The opening bars to "Girls Just Want to Have Fun" blared across the beach and brought squeals and giddy dancing with it. Misty gripped Cassie by the hand, and they took off toward the beach to join the other girls who were already well on their way to staking a claim to their new theme song. Poe sat on a downed tree limb, eyeing the woods around them. She was on full alert, on the job, and completely focused. Or at least, almost. She couldn't help but glance Cole's direction from time to time, until midway through the song, when he turned and slowly walked to join her.
"Hey," she said meekly upon his approach. "Thanks for coming, even though you didn't want to."
He studied their surroundings.
"Did you walk here?"
he asked, as if he hadn't heard a word she said, his eyes baring into her.
"No, I drove Winnie, parked up the street."
"You walked down here in the dark by yourself?"
Yeah, it was fine. I was totally safe. Do I need to remind you that a possible murderer is lurking around?"
She thought back to the car at the cemetery.
"Nope, you don't need to remind me. That's why I'm here, to see if he makes an appearance."
Cole shook his head and stuffed his hands in the front pockets of his black tuxedo pants.
"I don't know what gets into you."
She took a deep breath.
"Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mislead everyone earlier. I don't remember ordering the drink."
"Poe, stop. Okay?
I believe you, but it's starting to be too much. For you, especially. You're starting to see suspects where maybe there shouldn't be any."
"I'm not starting to see anything. He's here, I know it, Poe. You think I'm making all this up. Imagining that Joshua could have..."
He waved his hand at her, cutting her off before she could go off on a panicked tangent.
"Of course not.
But I'm worried that you're going to..."
"Drive myself crazy?"
She nodded.
"Or crazier?"
It was too much, but she didn't have any intention of letting up.
"He's close to overplaying his hand, and I'll be there to see it when he does.
That's what I'm afraid of."
He squat down and took a deep breath.
Can we just go back to acting normal?
She asked. Normal for us was not talking at all.
Okay, then maybe we should try to redefine normal?
She sighed, threw her head back, and let it hang there so she could look into the dark sky.
I feel weird enough all the time. I'd rather not feel weird with you two.
Don't feel weird on my account. He moved over and sat down next to her. You don't want to get out there and dance with them?
She lowered her head and admired the girls' inhibition as they frolicked on the dance floor.
No, it's more fun to watch,
especially Misty. She needs this. She likes to act tough, but I know she's having a rough time. If there's one thing I've learned through all of this, it's that people want to move on from tragedy pretty fast, and they expect everyone else to move on too, even those of us who are most affected by it.
Poe smiled over at him.
Sounds like you need to have some fun yourself.
Go. She flapped her hand, shooing him toward the dance floor.
Dance with them. I'll be fine.
I've already done my duty when it comes to being their partner. 3 dances. And I hate dancing. They laughed, easing a little of the awkwardness.
Yeah.
She laughed.
I know.
Do you? He looked over at her, his head at a tilt. Come on. He gripped her by the hand, stood, and pulled her to her feet. Here's a slow one. The least you can do is give me 1 dance.
No, come on.
He lightly tugged her out of the sand, but didn't bother to go all the way to the crowded dance floor. Do you remember how to do this? He teased.
Dance? I think so.
It was as if they were at a middle school event, and were paired up for the first dance ever. Neither seemed to know what to do. Her mind was completely blank. Dancing, suddenly foreign. He wrapped 1 arm around her, slipped his free hand in hers, and pulled her close. She became hyper-aware of the sensations heightening on every inch of her skin. Her face felt warm, and her breathing forced. Relax, he urged. You're safe. Poe took a deep breath, then slowly exhaled. She wanted to melt into him and never leave. There, in his arms, she felt almost like herself for the first time in over a year. She fit perfectly. Belonged, yet felt guilty for it. Screeching tires echoed across the cove. Car horns blasted continuously and headlights swept around the parking lot. Poe and Cole separated and sprinted across the beach. She heard footsteps behind them as they ran up the trail toward the parking lot, but didn't look over her shoulder. She knew it was Cassie and Misty. There was no doubt they'd have her back. When they ascended the peak of the trail, Poe realized not only their senses were being assaulted, each parked car was pelted with eggs and bags of flour. The rulers of the Cornwall High Kingdom had left their crowning ceremony to terrorize the masses. As she and Cole approached the parking lot, Poe saw Joshua standing next to his car. Star, Spencer, Lindy, and a few others huddled around him, still wearing their formals. A crown sat on Lindy's head.
Poe! I was looking for you, Joshua yelled.
He held up his arm to present a pair of Converse sneakers that hung from the tip of his fingers.
Found these a while ago. And thought you might want them back.
Just as she predicted, Joshua had just overplayed his hand. Poe picked up steam and moved toward him. Didn't anyone ever tell you that you shouldn't go walking on a beach alone? She shoved him against his car.
Be careful there, Poe. I kind of liked that.
You'll get me worked up. Poe shoved him again. Cole pushed past Spencer, but his progress was thwarted when Misty jumped in front of him. Let her handle this. Poe stood squarely in front of Joshua. The only way you win is if I lose control again and show how crazy I am, right? Joshua grinned.
Wrong.
I've already won. She tightly clenched her fists and could feel herself shaking with hatred as she stared at Joshua, His smugness was almost too much to take. Out of nowhere, she swung a fist toward his face, but stopped just before she made contact with his jaw.
You're not worth it.
Okay, Cole. Get her out of here, Misty whispered. Cole moved to one side of Poe and Joshua, and his features relaxed back into their typical calm as he gripped Poe's hand in his. Let's go. Before he could pull her toward the beach, she yanked her hand out of his grip. No. She leaned her body against Joshua's and placed her mouth to his ear.
You talk big in front of your friends, but you and I both know the truth. I know who you are, and I know what you've done.
Joshua stood as if frozen. His face turned bright red. She pulled away and glared at him with such an intensity that she could almost read into his soul. But there was nothing to see. He was dead inside. Nothing redeemable. Poe turned and walked toward the road. She saw Cole turn to Misty, Cassie, and Finn.
Misty and Finn, you guys stay here. Make sure nothing gets out of control. Cassie, come with us.
They followed behind Poe as she walked back to Winnie, but kept a small distance. Poe's head was spinning. She wanted the proof that Josh was guilty, and she wanted it right then. She didn't have any more patience for his games. Dylan deserved justice, and she deserved it now. They stepped inside Winnie, and within moments, Cole pulled the door shut.
We've got to tell the sheriff about Joshua.
No, not yet. What about Joshua? Cassie asked. He's violent. A possible murderer. He looked at Poe. You shouldn't be egging him on. Cassie stumbled backward and practically collapsed onto the side couch where her legs made contact.
You think Joshua took Dylan? How? Why?
Poe crossed her arms over her chest and leaned against the back of the driver's seat. That's what we're trying to figure out, Cole said. It's time we told the sheriff. I'm going. Are you coming with me? Poe shook her head defiantly. He thrust his hands on his hips and looked down at the floor.
You're too pig-headed sometimes.
A swarm of vehicles rushed by Winnie and caused a gush of wind to rock her back and forth for several seconds. Honking reverberated against Winnie's exterior and stunned Poe's ears. She covered her ears and waited for the shaking to stop.
We've got to end this, Cole shouted over the noise. Don't you see that? Look at what they're doing to you.
I'm going to get the sheriff. We're going to give him all of your research and let him handle it. She didn't respond. He lowered himself so their eyes were level.
Okay.
She knew he was right. Joshua and his minions were growing more aggressive. He had to know she was on to him. And he'd cranked up his attack tactics. Eventually, she nodded.
Okay. I'll be back.
He looked over at Cassie.
Don't leave her alone. Lock the door behind me. I'll be right back.
He stood and walked to the door. From here out, we're going to let the police handle this. 8:35 p.m. Poe sat at the dinette, bit on her fingernails, and stared up at Cassie as she studied the research Poe taped to Winnie's walls.
I can't believe Joshua could have done something like that. Cassie slowly shook her head.
I mean, he's a horrible, miserable human being, but this? She turned to Poe. Is he even smart enough to pull something like this off? And get away with it? Poe shrugged.
Poe,
we've known him our entire lives. How would we not see that he could do something like this?
We see what we want to see,
Poe muttered. A knock at the door stunned them both and sent Poe's heartbeat into heavy thuds. Cassie reached over with a shaking hand and unlocked the door, which immediately swung open, causing her to cower against the passenger seat. Sheriff Jackson bounded inside, Cole close on his heels. In full police mode, Jackson marched around the small space and took it all in before he stopped and studied Poe's research. Like Cole had, he took his time inspecting the photographs.
Care to explain all of this?
I'm doing a bit of an investigation.
He turned to her. I see that.
Why?
We're working on...
It took you a year to start,
she blurted, then quickly glanced over at Cole, knowing she'd said the wrong thing. His eyes were wide.
Cole, you're in on this, Sheriff Jackson barked.
Cole shifted his eyes to the floor. Cassie sat on the couch with her knees pulled to her chest, but her eyes peeled and focused on the sheriff's every movement.
No. Cole's been trying to talk me out of this the entire time. It's just it seems like nobody was doing anything,
Poe added, a little more timidly.
Do you kids seriously think I would advertise everything I've been doing?
She shook her head.
We did the work we could until we ran out of leads. Now we have new leads, and we're working on... Is Joshua Tubin a suspect?
Poe asked. The sheriff raised an eyebrow.
Joshua Tubin? He said his name like it was a joke. The T snapped off his tongue.
I've kept your parents update on any news I've had.
But are you looking at Joshua?
Why? Should we be?
She slipped out of the seat and stood under the bulkhead. Did you know that Kennedy and Joshua follow each other on Twitter?
Sheriff Jackson folded his arms across his chest, but didn't answer back.
I searched and searched his account for any sign of her, but couldn't find anything. Then, the other day, I realized he would have erased anything. But she wouldn't have. So I spent the other night scrolling through her Twitter feed and found something.
The sheriff's forehead twitched a bit, but if he were the least bit intrigued by her words, he hit it well.
She retweeted two of his tweets.
Poe walked to the oven, opened the door, and revealed its new function as a filing cabinet. She removed a file and closed the door with a bang.
Once was on February 8th.
She opened the file and handed him a printout of the screenshot she took of the tweet.
That's his Twitter handle, @SavageJosh2016.
The tweet was a photo of a black bag full of trash, and the accompanying words, actual photo of me from class this morning.
Poe pulled out the screenshot of the second tweet, dated February 12th, at 3:47 in the afternoon. Whenever life sucks, remember, you're gonna die someday. Hopefully sooner rather than later. This was Friday. Kennedy disappeared the next day.
Peyton, we looked at her Twitter. She retweeted people all the time.
His voice softened and slipped to the side of compassion-filled. Did you see his? Even though that was him?
The sheriff kept his lips tightly sealed.
Okay.
Her eyes darted around the room, ready to find the next piece of information that would convince the sheriff to consider the possibility Joshua was involved in her sister's disappearance.
A few days before you told us about Kennedy and Melissa going missing, I was with Joshua. He took me to the same state park Melissa was at when she went missing. Out to the middle of nowhere. He tried to pull me down the trail, but I didn't want to go. He got a little ticked about it and went without me. As I walked back up the trail, there was a girl. Brown hair, like me. A runner. It could have been her. It could have been Melissa, Peyton. There are young girls with brown hair running all over the area. He got Misty pregnant and wouldn't pay for the baby's funeral. He threatened me at school. He was here tonight and threatened me again in front of everyone. He had my shoes. The ones that were missing that day we talked at the house, and I think I caught him spying on me from the cemetery. I think he's been watching me in the RV, Sheriff Jackson.
They have a suspect in Lincoln. Poe blinked hard, shocked by his words, and believing she may have misheard his statement.
A what?
A transient. Found him staking out a gas station bathroom. They're questioning him now. And then we'll bring him here, sit him down, and see what he says.
Transient? But anyone could stalk a bathroom. Anyone.
And anyone can retweet something. She stepped back and partially hunched over like he'd punched her in the gut. Her insides churned and her thoughts spun in circles. I'm not saying your concerns have no merit, okay? Just keep an open mind.
Peyton, it probably isn't Joshua, but
I'll talk to him, all right?
I'll talk to him.
He walked toward the back of the RV and pulled out his walkie-talkie.
Dispatch, this is 285. Do you copy?
Poe closed her eyes. Again, her mind flashed back to those moments sitting in the police cruiser, the moments after the disappearance of her sister.
285, this is dispatch. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to need someone to pick up a possible person of interest and get him to the station. Tonight.
Copy, 285. Name?
The sheriff's eyes cut to Poe.
Joshua Tubin.
10-4.
The sheriff placed the walkie-talkie back in his holster and turned to Cole.
Take them home, Cole.
10 p.m. The closet was so dark that all the clothes took on a gray hue. Poe's hands trembled in her lap, and her vision jutted around the small space at the now depressingly drab skirts, pants, and blouses. Her reality felt overwhelming. She stared up at the dead light bulb, let her mind enter the fog. She saw her and her sister sitting in the closet, clinging to one another while a tropical storm raged outside and rattled their bedroom windows.
1001, 1002, 1003.
They could have run downstairs and jumped into bed with their parents, like most kids did when they were scared of the thunder and lightning. But Dylan and Peyton never needed anyone but each other.
1004, 1005.
She looked up at the clothes around her.
Are you here?
She whispered.
Is that why I come here all the time? I somehow know you're here.
It's where we wait for the storms to pass. She heard Dylan's voice, as if she were sitting right next to her. She rearranged herself, knelt onto her knees, and started to rummage through the items on the floor.
Are you here?
Her search was frantic, futile, and she knew it. But her hands didn't stop scraping the clothes and shoes from the floor, tossing them out of the closet and into the bedroom.
Where are you?
She screamed, then stood, and yanked Dylan's clothes off the rod and threw them outside the door.
Don't come to me all the time if you aren't going to tell me where I can find you.
She threw another load of clothes onto the bedroom floor and then fell into a heap on the closet floor, her energy drained and her fight waning. Poe looked up and studied the light bulb another long moment. She stood, reached up, and twisted it a half turn in the opposite direction. It immediately brightened the space. She slowly lowered her hand while continuing to stare up a moment more, and then loosened the bulb again. The closet returned to its state of darkness. She lowered herself back to the floor and leaned against the wall just as her daddy appeared around the corner. She watched him look at the mess she'd created. He scratched his head and then reached down and picked up one of Dylan's retro concert t-shirts. Def Leppard.
We often thought about removing her things from the room, so maybe you could have a little peace, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I wanted it to be ready for her when she came home, but...
She watched the shirt slip from his fingers and fall back to the floor. And Poe believed that he let his hopes for Dylan's return fall with it. Maybe he was just starting to let go, just as Poe was trying to hold on with all her might.
Rough night,
huh?
He sat down next to the heap of clothes. I heard what happened at the dance.
She cocked her head.
You did? It was just a dance. I cannot for the life of me figure out why people can't simply leave you be. What did it accomplish to have it shut down?
It's Joshua. He's trying to pay me back.
Pay you back for what? For the fight?
Yeah. And he knows that I know he's the one who got Misty pregnant. I found out right before he showed up at the house that day.
More sadness covered her daddy's face, to the point that his tanned skin was shrouded in it.
I was upset, and not really thinking. I just acted out of disgust.
Rage.
Yeah. He refused to take any responsibility for the burial. He left her to deal with it on her own.
like your mama was left to deal with you two on her own. I needed to fight back at something, and I think he became my outlet. She took a deep breath and laid her head against the wall. Maybe Cole's right. I'm finding pieces of a puzzle and forcing them to fit what I think happened. Daddy didn't respond. He picked the t-shirt back up and clutched it in his hand as he looked over at her. But it made sense, Daddy. The pieces did seem to fit. I mean, he's out there spreading lies to the point that everyone thinks I'm crazy, which maybe I am. I know I feel crazy. Is crazy so bad? He slipped into the closet, sat down next to her, removed a hand from the t-shirt, and ran the palm over her hair. I think people like to believe they would handle a situation better. But nobody can know how something will affect them. He re-gripped the t-shirt again and wrung it in his hands. It's not like you can plan ahead and put together some type of a game plan for a tragedy. Especially not one like your child or sister going missing. I think we're doing the best we can. Don't you? Honestly, I don't think we're doing much of anything. We're just existing.
He tightened his grip on the shirt, rested his head against the wall, and stared out across the bedroom, just on the other side of the closet door.
Everything happened so fast that we didn't have time to stop and think.
He shook his head and chuckled a bit. Not the type of laugh with joy, but the kind filled with disgust.
Oh, that chaos. Police asking questions, and the press asking questions, and everybody taking part in the search. But from time to time, they'd look at me like you'd done something wrong.
Yeah. He again removed a hand from the shirt and wrapped his arm around her shoulder.
I think about her all the time and what she went through or is going through.
She allowed her gaze to travel the length of the closet ceiling and land on the light bulb.
I have moments where I think I'm having a memory, but it doesn't line up with anything the police are saying. Or it's something I wouldn't do. At least not normally, anyway. For a second, it feels so real. But then it feels counterfeit.
Maybe you should stop trying to remember. Let your mind go there when it's ready. We can't change what's happened. All we can do is somehow find a way to cope.
She placed her hand next to his on the t-shirt and squeezed it tight.
I don't know if I can.
And I can't tell you how, because I'm still working on it myself. We all are.
He leaned over, kissed her on the head, and started to stand.
I just need answers,
she cried. He tossed her the shirt.
We all do.
Chapter 24, September 2nd, 2017, 5:50 a.m. Wearing the Def Leppard t-shirt and a pair of cut-off shorts, Poe walked aimlessly along the road. She didn't have a plan, no idea where she could go or who she could talk to. Even if she did find someone, what would she say? She kept her focus on her flip-flops and didn't look up until she hit grass. She was met with a modest, bungalow-style house that sat at the end of Magnolia. Poe took a deep breath before she walked across the lawn and knocked on the back door. It was early. Chances were that nobody would answer, or she'd be shooed away and told to come back in a more agreeable hour. Inside, the kitchen light turned on. Poe watched Cassie walk through the room and open the door. Hey, Poe! She was amazingly chipper. Nothing unheard of for Cassie.
I'm glad I didn't wake you.
Are you kidding?
I haven't been able to stop thinking about last night. Oh, and Misty's here, too. We didn't have our camp out at the cove, but we're sort of camping out here. Want to come in?
No. Poe suddenly felt horrible for dragging someone else into her craziness.
You know, never mind. We can talk about it at school on Monday.
She turned and ran across the yard.
Poe?
Poe, wait!
She slowed, but didn't turn around.
No, you too, have fun.
I shouldn't have come.
Are you going to make me chase you all the way home?
Come on back.
Poe stopped walking and allowed Cassie to catch up with her.
We'll go inside and talk.
Poe shook her head, panic rising in her chest.
You came all this way. You obviously need to talk to someone.
I'm here.
Me too.
Poe looked back to find Misty standing on the front porch.
And I've had coffee, so I'm capable of thinking.
She stepped into the grass.
Is this about the Joshua stuff?
Cassie looked over at Poe and winced, perhaps feeling a bit guilty.
I told her what happened tonight, and what you said about Joshua.
I hope you don't care. I wasn't gossiping.
Poe shook her head.
It's fine.
It's actually helpful, Misty said.
Makes me grateful. He didn't want to be involved in my life.
She dropped to the ground and sat on the grass.
Can you imagine being in a relationship with a monster?
It may not be him, Poe admitted, but that doesn't mean he isn't still a horrible person.
Cassie sat down next to Misty, and with a deep breath, Poe came over to join them.
He's beyond horrible.
Misty picked up a blade of grass and wrapped it around the tip of her finger.
A master manipulator.
Cassie's eyes were focused on the tip of Misty's finger, which was turning white from the pressure of the grass noose around her finger.
How's that?
I mean, look at him. I got knocked up, which he played a part in. He's trolling Poe hard, yet he's managed to convince everyone else we're the crazy ones. No matter what he does, he's got this ridiculous fan club that cheers him on. It's twisted.
And one minute he's sweet as pecan pie, the next he's slamming you on social media, and then back to sweet again.
Poe rubbed her temples.
It gives you whiplash.
The whole time we dated, he'd talk about how much he hates drama. But in reality, he loves it. Creates it.
Thrives on it, Cassie added.
It's all so heavy, Misty sighed. We're seniors in high school. We're supposed to be doing crazy, fun things.
Not seeing lives end.
Misty and Cassie looked back at Poe with shocked, widened eyes.
You just had to go there.
Misty tossed the blade of grass into the air, laid back, and looked up at the sky.
God. This year has sucked.
Yep. Poe crossed her legs at the ankle and looked up at the heavens.
Speaking of God,
Misty groaned. Now we're going there too? We should have invited Finn. He could handle the God stuff. I'm not up to speed on all that.
Speaking of God,
what? Cassie asked. Poe had too many questions about him to even ask. But there was one that raged on. Each and every day.
If he lets bad things happen, do you think he makes people suffer through it too?
Poe heard Cassie fall on the grass beside her and groan.
Heavy stuff.
Poe lowered her head and looked out across the yard.
Benjamin, Dylan, Melissa, and Kennedy.
They're gone. Cassie shot her hand into the air. Hold up, Poe. We don't know if the girls...
Sheriff Jackson doesn't think they're alive.
Her arm fell back to the ground.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, I get it. He allows suffering. I've been suffering for a year, but... does he allow that sort of pain? Her level of suffering to last a long time?
I've wondered stuff like that about Benjamin, too.
What kind of stuff? Cassie asked.
Like Poe said, was he ever in pain? Did he feel sick? Did he feel loved or cared for?